Westchester Talk Radio is broadcasting live.
News, trends, and more.
No one knows Westchester County better than we do.
We are Westchester Talk Radio.
Good day. Welcome to Westchester Talk Radio. WestchesterTalkRadio.com. Produced by Shark Creative and made possible by Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities through the spring of 2021. By Lipolis Electric, don't be left in the dark. Get Lipolis. And by Hightower Westchester, managing your wealth to a fiduciary standard. Also by White Plains Hospital. A special thanks to our friends over at White Plains, our heroes for all they've done throughout the COVID pandemic. Here on the Sports Report, we are joined by Fred Singleton, longtime track and field coach at White Plains High School, and the longtime 21 years in running meet director of the Glenn D. Laux Annual Track and Field Games at White Plains High School, one of the most prestigious high school track and field events in this country, just about on a par with the Penn Relays after all these years. And the games a year ago at White Plains were canceled, as most everything was, due to the COVID pandemic. Fred Singleton, there were 2021 games just a few days ago in a reduced portion, reduced form and fashion, and a number of people worked really hard, came together to make 2021 the 53rd annual games, 53rd annual meet go off.
Well, John, thanks for having me. And yes, there were a lot of people involved in getting these games up and running, including our superintendent, Joe Ricca, our principal, Emily Martinez, and of course, our athletic director, Matt Cameron. We had monthly Zoom meetings starting way back in December with the idea, is it possible for us indeed to proceed with the thought of having the games? And if you recall back in December, things weren't really good. But from day one, all three of those gentlemen were totally behind our effort to try and get the Laux games going for 2021, especially after what you said was a disappointment last year of not having the games. And of course, the Laux committee, which met via Zoom also, and we were able to pull it off.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have any doubt along the way that the games might not come off despite all the ongoing planning and preparation?
Every single day. Every single day. I was just waiting for the next shoe to drop, waiting for a phone call from somebody, waiting for an email from somebody. But to be honest, I was determined that if it could be done, it would be done. And again, with the backing of so many people, we were able to get it done.
How reduced were the games this year? Normally, you're talking 300 schools, 3,000 athletes that come to the area, to White Plains and the surrounding area. This year, vastly reduced. Section 1, Section 9 schools only, the lower Hudson Valley, the 7-county region. From an athletic standpoint, a competition standpoint, numbers, how reduced was the field?
So instead of over 300 teams, we had 60 teams. And instead of roughly 3,300 athletes, we had about 970 athletes.
Mm-hmm. Did this affect the competition at all from the standpoint of kids maybe expecting to go against a number of other athletes from out of the area, and yet you see Section 1, everybody knows each other. Section 9, everybody knows each other. And cross-section, everybody, intersectionality between the two, people know each other. They compete in this lower Hudson Valley region. Did that affect how the student athletes, how the competitors approached the games?
I don't think so, John, only because it's been a long time since a lot of these kids had a big track meet to go to. During the winter, there was basically nothing. And you have to go, that last spring, there were no track meets. So you have to go back to last winter for them to have competed against a lot of these other athletes. I'm sure they know of each other, but actually stepping on the track against each other, it's been a long time. So I don't think it really affected them in terms of, well, Massachusetts isn't here, Virginia's not here. I think 99.99% of these athletes were just happy to be able to step on a track at the Laux Games.
So this was not a situation where Marino steps on the track and he says, that guy Singleton, he beats me all the time. Now it's just me, him, and a few others. Maybe I can beat him today finally, although that would never happen.
I don't know, John. I just celebrated birthday number 69. You might
get me. 64, so we're catching up to you there.
No, because I think even in a regular Laux Games, person A is still trying to beat person B. I think if we took person A and person B and took them to an isolated highway and stopped traffic and told them, you guys are running up against each other, I think it would still be, I'm going to try and beat you and you're going to try and beat me. So no, I don't think the fact that other schools weren't there had any effect upon it. I think everybody went out there and did the best they could under the circumstances.
Did other athletic directors and coaches from around this region, especially the tri-state region, Long Island, Connecticut, New Jersey, understand that they were so close yet due to the pandemic and the rules that had to be followed, all the precautions and guidances, they were yet so far from being in the Laux Games, getting their teams into Laux this year? Did they understand that it had to be this way? Washington, Virginia, Massachusetts, I think they would understand that it's a long way to come. But right next door, if I were coaching, say, St. Anthony's, Dix Hills, Long Island, I'd be knocking on the door and say, come on, Fred, let me in.
There were a few attempts by some coaches to get themselves and their athletes into the meet, but I made it clear to everybody back in February and March that this was going to be the agreement that I made and that we were going to just keep it to that geographic area of the Lower Hudson Valley. Yes, there were some schools that were actually closer to us, to White Plains, than Kingston was, but they weren't in that region. We had schools in the Bronx. We had Greenwich, Connecticut, which are both geographically closer to White Plains High School than Kingston and Monticello.
You can walk from Greenwich High to White Plains.
Yes. Well, some people might, but I couldn't. But
you could.
But when it comes down to it, it's the geographic area that you are in that dictated who could come to the meet.
Mm-hmm. Did this affect how coaches coached, for example, you and your coaching and your style and the way you had your athletes approach? And I know you have Dan Furry and others at White Plains that work with you at the Laux Games. You have so much to do as the meet director. You may not be able to keep an eye on everybody, but did this affect how coaches coached because of the fact that there were only Section 1 and Section 9 schools?
I think they were able to spread their athletes out a little bit more. Keep in mind that the season actually started on April 19th. So this is really, Laux was really the second weekend of competition. So in a sense, they may have had a couple of dual meets previous to Laux, because you did have to still get in that required amount of practices. So I think for a lot of the coaches, this was, well, let's just see what so-and-so can do. Mm-hmm. Let's see what Sally can do on the track. Mm-hmm. And it just happened to be the Laux Games. In a normal season, the outdoor season would start in early March.
March.
And you'd have all of March, all of April, and then the second weekend of May before the Laux Games. So you're talking about almost 8 weeks of preparation to get ready for the Laux Games. You're talking about 2 weeks, 3 weeks at tops before Laux came about.
A reduced spring training, right, before Laux?
Yes. And also playing into that was there was a month off before the after the
indoor season?
An indoor season. So a lot of these track athletes, you know, they've been shortchanged by this whole thing, and it just all of a sudden it's Louts.
Right. You had preparation for, let's say, people who take part in the winter season and the spring track season, the indoor season, the outdoor, and the indoor season during the winter, the outdoor season in the spring. You had some interesting preparation, a couple of meets that were run at the Palisades Mall in Rockland County.
Well, that was a godsend. Coach Jeff Dempsey of Suffren worked it out with the owners of the, or the management of the Palisades Mall. Without that, John, we would have had one meet during the whole indoor season, and that meet would have been indoor outside. So we really only had three meets for the whole indoor season, and two of those were at the mall.
Now, for some, is that enough to get ready? Knowing that some pitchers need eight pitches to warm up and some might need 58.
Well, considering that was back in February, that was back for our kids. I mean, we've come up with a structured set of workouts for them to do on their own. Some of the kids got together with other kids, but we really had no contact with our athletes after that until April 19th. We weren't allowed to meet with them. Mm-hmm. And so it's been a strange season. And a lot of the coaches during that winter season, and me included, didn't really train like we normally train because we weren't training towards any particular meets, you know, until Mr. Dempsey stepped forward. I thought our season was over. And so we were just maintaining and trying to keep people healthy and trying to keep them from getting hurt.
Mm-hmm. Now, did anybody run into any beams at the mall?
Oh, no. They outlined it very well. It was a 300-meter track on cement, and they did run around the beams, and there, I guess maybe a wayward athlete may have found himself right in the middle of a beam, but for the most part, there were a couple of athletes who did fall, and that couldn't have been fun. But other than that, it was really well done, and we were just so happy to be there, and we would do it again. If there were meets set up at that mall, we'd do it again next year.
And that would be great, I think. That's a great way to get ready and to just take part in the meet, and it's just quite interesting to have that different kind of a venue to be there. And you know what? I guess if you run it a few times, you would get used to it, right?
You would. I mean, it's nothing like the Armory for sure, but John, there was nothing else. When they shut the Armory down, we had planned on having five meets at the Armory, which is still a shortened schedule, but that's five meets at one of the best facilities in the country. And they clearly had to shut it down because, more importantly, they were giving out vaccinations there. Right. So obviously, that's more important than the track meets. However, that was our place to go. So when they shut that down, I didn't think we'd have any meets.
Uh-huh. I would have loved to have seen that at the mall, the running of the meets at the mall.
There's video on Miles Split. Yes, on Miles Split. There's video.
Okay, yeah. Yep. All right, on Miles Split, which is one of the online institutions of track and field for high school track and field in this country. Yeah. And they come to the Louts games every year, and they film.
Oh yes, I mean it was dark and it was cool, but it was an experience.
It was fun, right? Yeah,
it was something.
It was fun
that
and it was serious, and you were there to win, to do the
and
best.
And you were out there trying to run against everybody else, and it was you know, forget the surroundings. It was a track.
Right. That's what competition's about.
Yeah.
Yep.
It was a track.
You have to deal with the elements, no matter what those elements might be. This time it was a mall, run around some beams, maybe crash into a store or something like that. Store windows and, you know.
We were way down underground in one of the garages. Okay. So we weren't up where the merchandise is. They had empty garages, and that's where we were. And it was fun, and you know, they had it run, you know, very well in terms of 2-hour block. That group leaves, then the next group comes in after an hour. So it was done very well.
You still had a lot of stuff, no doubt about that. Fred Singleton, Meet director for 21 years now, the Glenn D. Laux Memorial Track and Field Games at White Plains High School, held every May, Mother's Day weekend. 53rd annual just concluded a few days ago after the pandemic-induced pause for a year back in 2020, a year ago. Fred, also a longtime track and field coach at White Plains High School, too. Fred, the competition itself at the Laux Games, were there any Caitlin Tuies from North Rockland or any place else in Section 1 or 9 this year?
Well, Caitlin Tuie and Mary Kane, who preceded her, are probably generational runners.
Right.
So, I don't
think. Can you teach what they do? Can you teach what they do, those two?
I think they come equipped to the table with that. Mm-hmm. And you just try to add on to it. And, you know, they probably both arrived as diamonds in the rough, and knowing what, you know, they both turned out great. So, there were no Caitlin Tuies at the meet, but there were still some fine athletes and some good performances. And, you know, again, these kids, they were rusty, so they hadn't been in a big meet in a long time.
Mm-hmm. How do you get somebody, because they're rusty, how do you get them doing at least close to what they need to do as a coach? How do you do that?
Well, because it was such a short time between the beginning of the season and Laux, I don't think a lot of them were ready for a top-notch personal best experience.
And they yet were, you want to win. It doesn't matter what the numbers are in the end, I think, to a lot of people. You want to hit certain numbers, obviously, but if I'm out there on the track, I want to win. I don't care if I run 30 seconds or 5 minutes, I want to win.
Track is a very, very interesting sport that, unless you've experienced it, I have had times where people who have run for me or my teammates have run the very best they've ever run in their life, finished last in a race, but they were delighted that that was the best that they ever did. My own experience, I ran at a track meet in 1973 at Madison Square Garden.
When you were at Mount Vernon High?
When I was at Penn State.
Penn State, 73.
And right. Finished last in the race. There were five of us in the hurdles at Madison Square Garden, but I reached the finish line like within a step of the Olympic champ and the U.S. champ, and I could actually feel the finish line. And even though I was last, it was a personal best, and I was delighted. And actually, I led the race for the first hurdle.
Well,
but there could be races where you win and you're disappointed with the effort. I know that sounds crazy to some people, but it happens in the Olympics and all over the place all the time, where somebody comes across the finish line, they had a goal in mind, they see the time, and they say, man, even though they won. And I had a young lady, Isabella Kent, a few years ago. She's now at Syracuse, where she finished last in her race in a dual meet with Mount Vernon. But when I told her time, she was so delighted because she had beaten her time by about 15 seconds. So those are the quirks about track and field.
Mm-hmm. And it's a sport where, too, sometimes you actually work up to your best in adverse conditions.
Definitely. And again, this year, there weren't those building blocks of all these meets indoors, all these meets, including for the elite runners going down to Penn Relays to run, and then coming 2 weeks later for Laux. All of a sudden, like my coach Lamont McCormick said, one of the coaches at White Plains High School, I looked up and it's time for Laux. I mean, it was all of a sudden it's here, because we didn't have all those meets in the beginning and going down with the experience of going to Penn Relays to run and then coming back 2 weeks later for Laux. All of a sudden, Laux was there.
Mm-hmm. Talking competition, who were the top schools this year for boys and girls, both?
At Laux this year, Newburgh ran away with it. They had.
Why? How did they do this year?
Well, they may have had better athletes. They also, during the indoor season, they traveled down to Virginia. So they came out ready. And I'm not saying that other people didn't, but they may have the best athletes this year.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, is that what it comes down to? You got the best athletes, and if you prime them the right way, you will win?
Yeah, I think that's true in just about any sport. I mean, if you have the best football players, you usually, unless the other coach does some wonders, you usually win. You can ask New England about that against the Giants a few years ago in the
right.
Super Bowl. But, I mean, stuff happens.
Yeah,
stuff
it
happens.
Yeah.
So, but if you would rather go to the line with the best athletes,
and
you know,
take your shot and your chances that
way. Yes. Mm-hmm. So Newberg was loaded.
Mm-hmm. Does hard work beat talent as a coach? Think about this for a second. Does hard work beat talent when talent does not work hard?
Wow. Well, I guess it depends on the difference of the two athletes where you're starting from. But I've had great athletes who didn't work as hard as I would like them to have worked. And I've more times have had good athletes who worked hard to make themselves better. And as a coach, I would prefer the latter in terms of having people who really want to work hard.
No matter how talented they might be.
Correct. Correct. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I come from a tradition in Mount Vernon where our 1970 team was one of the best teams in the history of New York State. And we worked hard, even though we had a lot of talent, we worked hard.
Mm-hmm. Do you expect every runner, anybody who runs for you or for your team at White Plains, boys, girls, to be as good as Fred Singleton was? Knowing that that's not possible for everybody.
No, I just want everybody to be the best that they can be. I mean, I've coached athletes who are as good as I am or as good as I was. And I've coached athletes who weren't. But I just want everybody to get out there and run or jump or throw to the best of his or her ability.
Mm-hmm. That's all you can ask for as a coach, right?
You know what? If we finish dead last in a race, but all the athletes run the best that they've ever run, what else can I ask for?
Right. You did your job at that point.
They did their job. You know, they did their job. They ran as fast as they've ever run in their lives, and we didn't get a medal. What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, they'll probably be, it's going back to that Isabella Kent. They might be happy. They might because they did the best that they could. Mm-hmm. And that's the best that they've ever done. So if you get that's part of the game.
Does success come about from a combination of coaching and the athlete doing what he or she should do? A combination of both?
Yes, definitely. You know, there's some coaches who just have a certain knack of getting their teams
kids
going
to do what they are supposed to do. Coaches like you, for example,
there are a lot of good coaches.
A lot
of
good coaches, right? Yes. But you're obviously in that crop. What you've done for decades, a guy like Andy Capayon over at New Rochelle, a Marsha Bailey up in Northern Westchester, and people like that. Some of the people out on the island who are involved, much more heavily involved with Laux now than they had been in the past. It's just a matter of, you know, getting those athletes to do what they are supposed to do. And guys like Fred Singleton know how to work with young men and young women and make that possible and make that happen and make them the best that they can possibly be. And we do thank you for that, Fred, for all of your determination and dedication. And we appreciate that throughout the decades, throughout Westchester and this lower Hudson Valley area. Now, what do you expect next year for Laux? Hopefully a full weekend.
I'm certainly hopeful. I mean, I'm hopeful that we've been heading in that direction, getting good news about wearing masks and the vaccinations. So I'm hopeful that, forget Laux, I'm hoping that cross country in the fall we're back to normal and we can travel to meets and then look forward to a great indoor season. I mean, we missed a lot of my favorite meets during the indoor season. And I don't coach during the outdoor season anymore because I'm concentrating on the games. But, you know, I would love them to start having their meets in April again. A lot of coaches and schools lost meets that they host. So we were very fortunate to have Louts because the season started so late that the early April meets were lost. Mm-hmm. And so even going back to Somers with the Somers Lions and a few others, these guys missed their opportunity to have meets. And of course, that means fundraising with selling food. So there's a lot of ramifications of not having these meets.
This year, of course, due to the pandemic, the concessions at Louts were vastly, greatly reduced. The number of people stepped up financially to help, and the committee took a big hit. It takes a lot of money to run the Louts games, many thousands of dollars. It's not just send some kids out there and let them run around the track. And I've had people say to me, well, how much could it cost? You know, school, White Plains High School sponsors it. The school system works with it. How much could it cost? And they saw the books. They'd, I think, be taken aback, honestly. Who stepped up locally, really, the Rotary Club and others, to make this possible this year?
Well, you named one, the Rotary Club. Wegmans helped us out. They helped feed the officials. They gave us a donation. Hospital for Special Surgery stepped up big time, even giving us a couple of trainers on Saturday, gave us a financial amount also. Oh, and then you have mom and pops with $25 here, $50 here, $250, $500 donations. So Dana Comfort, who is our treasurer, and Danny Ferry, who is also in terms of helping get people to donate.
And one of the track coaches at White Plains, too. Like
Danny's been there for a while, yes. The two of them stepped it up and really got a lot of people who had helped sponsor it last year and said, nah, just keep the money. It goes to a good cause. And then on top of that, they contributed again this year. Mm-hmm. So it was a good spirit. You know, one of the sad things is that, it's a community thing. So the hotels didn't get people coming in because everybody was local. The restaurants didn't get people staying over and eating. You know, if you're coming up down from Maine, you got to eat somewhere. And right. A lot of the coaches have made arrangements with certain restaurants. They'll call, you know, it's nothing to do with me. It's like when we travel, we have to make our own plans with restaurants. And so a lot of the restaurants in our area got hit because they didn't have 1,000 athletes from outside our area staying. And so, you know, this is 2 years in a row. And hopefully next year that all turns around and we get the kids from Canada and Maine and Virginia and Ohio again.
As the meet director at Louts for more than 20 years now, 21 years, do you ever take a day off? I know you're prepping already for Louts 2022, the 54th annual.
I do take some time.
But Louts is always in your mind.
Yes, definitely, almost always. And I'm not quite on the 2022 meet because I'm still wrapping up the 2021 meet. If I were to pan the camera here, you'd see a bunch of T-shirts that are for the mothers who volunteered for the snack bar. I sent out T-shirts yesterday to the seating committee. So there's still stuff to do. I don't go down to White Plains High School every day now because I'm not coaching. So I'll go down tomorrow. I'll check my mailbox. There'll be checks there for entry fees, maybe some for some donations. So all of that has to be entered. And usually by July 1st is my target date to start working on the next games. And I start.
That's just a few days away.
Well, no, that's the way. I still got the whole month of May and the whole month of June.
It goes by fast. It'll be here.
And then, so I start with updating the record books and the top 10 lists. And I start looking at returning athletes to recruit for the 2022 games. And by Christmas, I will have written those letters. There's stuff to do. And it'll get done in time.
To find out more about the Laux games, where should we go? How can we find it online?
Very easy. www.thelauxgames.org.
And that is thelauxgames.org, correct?
Correct. And there's the history of the games. There's a lot of good information there. You can see results from this year, too.
Meet director, Laux Games, White Plains High, 21 years and running, longtime track and field coach at White Plains High School. We thank you. All the best, Fred, and we'll see you at Laux again next year in 2022.
God willing. Thank you, John. Thank you for the interview.
All right. And Fred, thank you for all you have done throughout the decades, not the years, but the decades, going all the way back to your days as a premier track and field athlete at Mount Vernon High School.
Thanks, John. Be well.
Right, you too. Take care.
Fred, see you soon.
Thank you. On the Sports Report, Westchester Talk Radio, westchestertalkradio.com. Produced by Shark Creative, made possible by Entergy, the Indian Point Energy Center, supporting our communities through the spring of 2021. By Wartburg Healthcare and Rehabilitation in Mount Vernon. Also by Park Sterling Realty of Bronxville and Michael Labriola Landscape Design and Construction in Armonk. Catch all of our Westchester, Rockland, Putnam, Dutchess, Orange, and Fairfield County talk radio programming on our YouTube channel, Shark Creative YouTube.
You're listening to Westchester Talk Radio,
powered by Shark Media, a division of Shark Creative,
and made possible by Entergy, Indian Point Energy Center.
Visit SafeSecureVinyl.com.